أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين Verse number 31 وعلم آدم الأسماء كلها ثم عرضهم على الملائكة فقال أنبئوني بأسماء هؤلاء إن كنتم صادقين. And he taught Adam the names, all of them, then presented them to the angels and said, Tell me the names of these if you are truthful. قالوا سبحانك, then the following verse says, قالوا سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا. إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. They said, Immaculate are you. We have no knowledge except what you have taught us. Indeed, you are the all-knowing, the all-wise. Then he said to Adam, the following verse, قال يا آدم أنبئهم بأسمائهم. He said, O Adam, inform them of their names. فلما أنبأهم بأسمائهم قال ألم أقل لكم إني أعلم غيب السماوات والأرض وأعلم ما تبدون وما كنتم تكتمون. And when he informed them of their names, he said, Did I not tell you that I indeed know the unseen in the heavens and the earth, and that I know whatever you disclose and whatever you were concealing? Now I read all these three ayahs together because their meanings are very closely related to each other. And this Allama Adam al-Asma kullaha and the previous verse إِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً is actually in continuation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioning his bounties for us, that he created the heavens and the earth, and he everything which was in them he created for us, and then he created us from the clay. And now one other bounty that he has actually given us as human beings, which is the highest blessing of all, is the telling us or informing us about the Asma. عَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا This is the culmination of all bounties that Allah gave to human being up till here mentioned in this surah. It started like this, كَيْفَ تَكْفُرُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَكُنْتُمْ أَمْوَاتًا You were dead, we brought you to life, and we created everything in the heavens and earth for you. And then we actually taught you the Asma. This is the culmination of all the bounties that Allah has given us. Now, علم آدم الأسماء كلها. He taught Adam all the names. And when he talks about Adam, of course, about his progeny too, because this would continue in his progeny, the knowledge of the names. Now, what are these names which are taught to Adam, which angels were not aware of? That's the very important thing. Usually, the exegetes have explained this in a way which would not somehow address the knowledge of the angels. They say, for example, it's the names of everything. Well, of course the angels would know names of everything, not in language probably, but they don't need language at all. They don't need to use language in their communications. So the important thing is that for explaining this Asma that Allah taught Adam, alayhi salam, we have to bear in mind that the knowledge of the angels did not reach them. This is the important thing. Now, the exegetes have actually taken three views about Asma. And all other things which are mentioned about Asma in different tafasir are all actually summarized in these three views, all come back to these three views. One is the general view of majority of the exegetes and commentators. And here I quote from the Tafsir al-Jalalain of Jalaluddin al-Suyuti and the other Jalaluddin, وعلم آدم الأسماء. He says أسماء المسميات, the names of things that could be named. So everything which has a name. So Allah taught the names of things to Adam, that this is called the table, this is called a human being, this is called a horse, أسماء المسميات. And this is what Fakhruddin Razi mentions, that this is the general view of all the exegetes, majority of the exegetes. Then the problem is, okay, what language? In what language Allah taught this Asma to Adam alayhi salam? In Arabic, in Aramaic, in Syriac, in English? Which language was that? Now, Fakhruddin Razi mentions a very strange explanation for this. He says that Allah taught Adam the names in all languages. So I don't know how many languages we have on the earth, 5,000, 6,000 languages. Many of these languages have died away, actually. Allah taught Adam all these languages to about what is called, what is everything is called. And actually, the children of Adam could speak in all these languages. So they spoke English, Italian, Persian, Arabic. In all these languages, they could speak. However, when they dispersed over the globe, and different tribes and different families went to different parts of the world, then each one of them were more well-versed in one language, and they spoke in that language. So people who went to, for example, China, they chose to speak Chinese only, and they forgot English, they forgot Persian, they forgot Arabic. In that way, the languages became diverse, and people could not actually understand each other. Otherwise, initially, they knew all the languages. Now, this is a very amazing explanation, isn't it? That Allah taught all languages to Adam, because when it says Allama Adam al Asma, Asma are names which are in different languages. If we say it's actually language, names of things, then we have to go into such sort of explanations. Or a better explanation which could be given is that, well, the names were the ability of speaking and giving names to things were given to Adam and his children, rather than going into this very arduous and very difficult and surprising explanation of Fakhruddin Razi. So this is the most general idea about Asma. Allama Adam al-Asma kullaha. But this is not a big deal, actually. The angels would not have been satisfied by this answer, that because Allah has taught Adam language, he was superior to them. Actually, he was not, because angels for communication did not need language. Adam had a need for language in communication. And inshallah, when we go to the next world, we would see that how is it possible that without language we can communicate with each other. This is a higher sort of category of communication rather than a lower one. The lower category of communication is that we need language to communicate. A higher level and category of communication is when we do not need language to communicate. We just can actually convey our concepts by just attention to each other. This sort of thing which the angels have. They don't need language. That's why the angels know all languages. They know all languages because they don't need language at all. When, for example, we say the angels come and ask people in grave about their deed, about their religion, faith, in what language they ask them? There is no language there, of course. It's just a different type of communication. So saying that Allah chose Adam as his viceroy on the earth because he taught them language, or as Fakhruddin Razi says, all languages, which later on was somehow divided between his progeny, is not a very appealing explanation, is not something which would satisfy the angels, that why you place a viceroy as Adam and not us. نَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ. The tasbih and taqdis that we do to you is a better quality for vicegerency than language and such. So Fakhreddin Razi himself is not very satisfied, of course, with this explanation of languages. And he says there is another explanation which is very, very much actually original in his own idea. And he says, Ism sometimes means sifa, asma means sifat, qualities. So when he says, Allama Adam al-asma'a kullaha, he taught Adam all the names, means the qualities of everything. So I know, for example, if this is a plant, I know how is it brought about, how can I improve it, how can I change it, or anything in this world. And this is a very, of course, advanced quality in human being. We know the qualities of everything, we know how they work, we know how we can change them. We know even now we see that the children of Adam are able to penetrate into the genes and change the genes of animals, plants, human beings. So this is from the knowledge that Allah has given them, the qualities of everything. And then he goes into a very detailed etymological discussion that why ism could mean sifa. So Allama Adam al-asma'a kullaha, he taught Adam all the names, means taught Adam all the sifat and qualities of everything, which gave him, of course, advantage over all other animals. Why other animals cannot do what human being can do? First of all, of course, it's because of their physical structure. They don't have these fingers. They don't have the type of organs that we have in our body. And secondly, is because they don't know the qualities of things. Of course, knowing qualities of things, not that initially when we are born we know them, but we can learn them, we can through experience, we can change them, we can improve, we can destroy, and all these things that we can do, this is a quality for us. Again, there is a question, would the angels be satisfied? Would have they been satisfied by this answer, that because this Adam knows the qualities of things, he is the one should be above you and should be the viceroy rather than you? Especially bearing in mind that knowing the qualities of things is usually used for corruption, isn't it? We know the qualities of things, and that's why we can destroy, we can kill, we can do lots of bloodshed. And this actually would reinforce the argument of the angels that أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءُ, you put somewhere there who corrupts on the earth and sheds blood. And Allah says, no, you don't know something. This human being, I have given him that sort of knowledge which could even do more bloodshed, which could even do more corruption on the earth. I have taught him the qualities, the qualities of everything, and therefore they can do more corruption on the earth. So this is not very satisfying. Now, this is these two explanations is mainly the explanations which the exegetes have given about names, which are not very satisfactory. There is one other explanation which is specifically and uniquely mentioned by Allama Tabatabai. As we know, his method in tafsir brings many unique new concepts and ideas into tafsir, and that's why he has become such a prominent commentator. All other commentators who have written commentaries in our contemporary times, they haven't added anything to our knowledge about the Quran. They have just written another explanation or a different style, some of them a better style in understanding such things, but they have not contributed anything to past knowledge that the exegetes have given us in terms of tafsir, except, of course, Allama Tabatabai, who in many ways have given us new concepts and has contributed to our knowledge about such very, very complicated and important verses in the Quran. Now, he says that, first of all, he refuses all those ideas about for example, teaching Adam the names of things. And he says, if this was a sort of a very distinctive quality for Adam alayhi salam, after Adam tells them or tells angels about them. For example, if the language was taught to Adam, okay, the language, knowing the names of everything. And Allah said, قَالَ يَا آدَمُ أَنْبِئْهُمْ بِأَسْمَائِهِمْ. Adam informed the angels about their names. Okay, Adam would have taught the angels the language, and the angels would have learned the language, because the angels are not stupid beings. They are very intelligent, very, very highly intelligent beings. So as soon as Adam would have informed them about the language, they would have learned it, and they would have said, okay, now we are equal and above Adam, because we know many things that Adam doesn't know. So this is not a very justifiable explanation. Now, he says that there is something in this knowledge which the angels could not know. And he refers to the verse which comes after this. قَالَ أَلَمْ أَقُلْ لَكُمْ إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ غَيْبَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Did I not tell you that I know the unseen of the heavens and the earth? So this knowledge should have been something which relates to the unseen of the heavens and the earth. When we say غَيْبُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, this could be used in two ways. That is, الْغَيْبُ مِنَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, what is unseen in the heavens and the earth. Or الْغَيْبُ عَنِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, what is unseen above the heavens and the earth, that could not be inside heavens and the earth. It is unseen from the heavens and the earth. And from the heavens and the earth means the inhabitants of heavens and the earth, from the angels, from any creature. So there was something which the angels did not even imagine it exists. Did not even imagine it exists. And they had no knowledge about it, because it was غَيْبُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. It was something, you know, for example, we may say that, okay, Allah exists, but he's غَيْب. We have some idea of God, but he's غَيْب. The angels may have some idea of something in the universe, for example, or in the creation, but they know it's غَيْب. Then their knowledge would not reach it. But there is something which is not imaginable at all for them. It's غَيْبُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, hidden from the heavens and the earth. Not hidden in the heavens and the earth, hidden from the heavens and the earth. غَيْبٌ عَنِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. He says that this knowledge which was given to Adam was of this type, something that angels even did not know that it exists. And when Allah informed them that there is something which actually, he showed them some manifestation of those things and said, okay, you say you have the capacity and capability of being my viceroy on the earth. Now, tell me, what are these things? What are these? And when you say asma means, it doesn't mean actually just the names. It means the musammayat of those things, the things themselves. What are these things? He said, قَالُوا سُبْحَانَكَ, we didn't even know that such a thing exists at all. سُبْحَانَكَ لَا عِلْمَ لَنَا إِلَّا مَا عَلَّمْتَنَا. And then he said, قَالَ يَا آدَمْ أَنْبِئْهُمْ بِأَسْمَاهُمْ. Now, يَا آدَمْ, you informed them, what are these? What are these? Not the names. There's no names there. Now you tell them, what are these? And when Adam started to explain for the angels, فَلَمَّا أَنْبَأَهُمْ بِأَسْمَائِهِمْ قَالَ أَلَمْ أَقُلْ لَكُمْ. He said, did I not tell you that there is something that you do not know at all in the heavens and the earth? And also I knew what you were concealing and what you were revealing. Now this, of course, has another explanation. Now what is this which is غَيْب in Samawat and Ars, that Allah taught Adam, and by that Adam became the closest creature to God, the highest, the cream of creation. As I said, this is actually in line of the numbering of the bounties of Allah to us, that look what I have done to you. You were nothing, you were nothing at all. I brought you to existence, then I created everything for you. Then I taught you these names that angels were not aware of. Now, what were these? Allah says that there is something which is غَيْبُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, hidden from the heavens and earth, which is عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. and no one in heaven and earth knows about them. And he uses a verse in Surah Hijr. And that verse is used frequently by Allama Tabatabai in explaining many different things in the Quran. As I say, this is his unique contribution here. He says that in Surah Hijr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا عِنْدَنَا خَزَائِنُهُ وَمَا نُنَزِّلُهُ إِلَّا بِقَدَرٍ مَعْلُومٍ. There is nothing in the heavens and the earth that the treasures of that thing is with us. The treasures of that thing is with us. And we just send, those treasures have no limit, no limit at all. No qadar, no measure. There's no measure there. And when we want to give it creation, when we want to bring it into existence from those treasures, then we give it measure, we give it limit, we give it size. وَمَا نُنَزِّلُهُ إِلَّا بِقَدَرٍ مَعْلُومٍ. When we send it down to creation, there, of course, that's beyond the creation. When we send it down to creation, we give it measure. So, for example, for human beings, there is a source, measure with Allah. This is the way Allah creates. This is somewhere which is hidden from heavens and the earth because it's the source of the heavens and the earth. Completely hidden. It's indana. It's with us. And when I want to create human beings, human being is, for example, one of the creatures, there it has no limits. When I want to create, then I give it limits, numbers, all these things. When I want to send rain, for example, there is the treasures of it with us, water. That's why, actually, in many places in the Quran, Allah says that we have sent down for you, for example, وَأَنزَلَ لَكُم مِّنَ الْأَنْعَامِ ثَمَانِيَةَ أَزْوَاجٍ. Sent down for you, cattles. Sent down for you. وَأَنزَلْنَا الْحَدِيدَ. We sent down the iron, isn't it? What does it mean, sent down from the heaven? Of course, we know these literalists may say that, okay, Allah has some sort of iron with himself and sent it down, throws it down on us. No. Sent down means that we created it from that treasures and brought it down. Adam was given the knowledge of those treasures, which is غيب السماوات والأرض, which actually the angels were created from those treasures. Okay, when Allah wants to create angels, it comes down from that treasure. Now, because we are very much used into sort of cause and effect idea of things coming about, it's very difficult for us to understand, because when Allah creates, there is no cause and effect there initially. Then he sets the process of cause and effect in his creation. But before that, when things come from Alamul Amr, from the world of the command, there is no such a thing. He sends it down once, all of a sudden, and then sets time for it, measure for it, sets it go in its time. For example, when Allah wanted to create the whole universe, of course, because Allah is beyond time, he just sent it down from those treasures and then set time for it, measures for it, that it should start from the Big Bang, for example, end up in the destruction of whole the universe and then paradise and then because he himself is sitting outside that time, for him, beginning and end has no meaning, of course. He just sent this down from those treasures. Now, this was something that the angels did not know. And even Adam knew how the angels were created, but the angels did not know how Adam was created because they did not have any knowledge of those treasures. And therefore, one may say, قَالَ يَا آدَمُ أَنْبِئْهُمْ بِأَسْمَائِهِمْ. Oh, Adam, inform them of their names. May return to the angels. Inform them of the names of those treasures from which they are created. The names of the angels. فَلَمَّا أَنْبَأَهُمْ بِأَسْمَائِهِمْ. When he informed them of the names of those treasures from which the angels were created, then they accepted. فلما انبأهم بأسمائهم قال ألم أقل لكم. Of course there is a deletion here. When he informed them, the angels deferred to Adam, they accepted that they were wrong, and then Allah said, did I not tell you that I know something? So this is a special knowledge given to Adam and his progeny, of course. Now, this knowledge on the earth, of course, it does not appear in many human beings. It only appears in certain human beings. Those who are very pure can tap into those treasures of things, knowing why things are created, how things are created. These are only the elite. However, in the process of our development and progress, gradually we will come to know. And when we go to paradise, inshallah, we will have lots of that knowledge which is taught to Adam, and the angels don't know. That's why the angels serve in paradise, serve human beings in paradise, because they are much less in their level of existence and knowledge than human beings. And this knowledge would increase in us, and it would actually show different manifestations in different stages of our life. Even the prophets or Adam, of course, at that stage, when he was absolutely pure, not coming to the earth, not being sort of interacting with the life on the earth, he knew that completely. But when, of course, he was sent to the earth, then things changed. His knowledge became earthly knowledge of those things. Then, of course, it would develop again, going back to that original knowledge that we have. So this is something huge that Allah has given to human beings, something that he has not given to anyone, any creature, any angel. Those who are very close to the Arsh, they don't know any of that. And it's only Adam and his progeny who know it. Of course, his progeny, of course, they may go to hell, and after a while they may come out of hell and go to paradise and then gradually move up in that. However, the gift that Allah has given to us is something that cannot be measured. And why this gift is given to us, we don't know. It's something just wonderful. Just thank you. Thank you very much that you gave this gift to us. We don't know why you have given this to us. And of course, we do not appreciate this. We do not appreciate. Inshallah, after we come more aware of this great gift that Allah has given to us, we will become more appreciative of what he has given to human beings. So in line of what Allah was mentioning, كَيْفَ تَكْفُرُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَكُنْتُمْ أَمْوَاتًا فَأَحْيَاكُمْ. How do you reject Allah while you were nothing? Allah gave you life, and then he created everything for you in the heavens and earth, and then we gave you this knowledge that we have not given to anyone. Now, let's look at some of the riwayat in this respect, and also the details of this verse. So it says that وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا. He taught Adam all the names, all the names. Of course, Allama Tabatabai mentions that this diversity, kullaha, all of it, does not exist when we go to that source, to those khazain, because there's no measure there. Although things, different aspects of it are diverse, but it's all one. There is no measure there to differentiate. And from that source, the creation comes down, but it's all in rank, not in measure, the differences, the diversity. So he taught Adam all the names. And the interesting thing about those treasures, Allah says, إِلَّا إِنْدَنَا خَزَائِنُهُ. It's with us, close to us. And about the muttaqeen, Allah says, إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي جَنَّاتٍ وَنَهَرٍ فِي مَقْعَدِ صِدْقٍ عِنْدَ مَلِيكٍ مُقْتَدِرٍ. We go to that place where the source and of everything is there with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ma indakum, this is one other verse that Allama mentions in this regard. Ma indakum yanfad, wa ma indallahi baq. What is with you would perish, and what is with God, those treasures, they never perish. They're always there. And from those treasures, of course, Allah will give. And we don't know what are we going to be given in paradise from those treasures. You know, sometimes we think that these descriptions of paradise are very far-fetched. Actually, Allah is saying that, but he's not going to give us those things, because how can he give 1,000 palaces in 1,000 cities to one person, for example? Because we have every person in paradise has 1,000 cities. In every those of cities, there are 1,000 palaces, in every palace, 1,000 rooms. And this is just to tell us how abundant things are there, how abundant things are. They're not that specifically the numbers are given. And we say, how is it possible? Now, if you imagine, when we were in the wombs of our mothers, how was it possible for us to imagine that we come here, we eat from everything, we travel in the earth, we communicate with each other, we sit and talk about God, about the angels? How was it possible? I mean, for us, imagining that this such a thing was possible for that little drop of blood, this was possible, is unimaginable. Now, whatever is said about paradise, you just compare these two with each other and compare what is there with what is here. It's just exactly in that way. So, أَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا ثُمَّ أَرَضَهُمْ عَلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ. Then he أَرَضَهُمْ, not that he taught the angels those names, those مُسَمَّيَاتِ of the name, of course. He just made angels aware of it. And said, now what are these? What are these things? قَالَ يَا فَقَالَ أَنْبِئُونِي بِأَسْمَاءَ هَؤُلَاء. Now, here, أَرَضَهُمْ أَسْمَاءَ هَؤُلَاء, these are all pronouns which are used for intelligent beings. Now, all the exegetes say that, of course, these were names of everything, names of everything. And because among these everything were angels and jinn and human beings, and they are intelligent beings, therefore these pronouns are used. Instead of saying, ثُمَّ أَرَضَهَا عَلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ or أَنْبِئُونِي بِأَسْمَائِهَا, he says, أَرَضَهُمْ, which is used for intelligent beings, because among all everything were these intelligent beings, this type of pronoun is used. However, Allah Ta'ala says this is wrong. We cannot use such a thing here. Because those treasures are alive, have intelligence. Things are created from the sources, have sort of living existence and intelligent, and therefore this sort of zamir is used. أَنْبِئُونِي بِأَسْمَاءَ هَوْلَىٰ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ, if you are truthful. If you are truthful in what? That we are better than Adam. That we deserve more to be the viceroys of you rather than Adam, alayhi salam. And they were not telling this out of defiance, of course. They really thought that no one can be above them in knowledge, especially someone who was on the earth, shedding blood. And as I said, they were right. Human beings would shed blood. Human beings would make corruption on the earth. But Allah said, there is something in this creature which sheds blood, although they do this, but there is something in this creature hidden which you do not know about it. And this is the knowledge of the Asma. Now, the traditions here are important to go through and see what they say. Now, in Tafsir al-Ayyashi, from Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam, someone called Abu al-Abbas says, I asked him, Allama Adam al-Asma'a kullaha. He taught Adam all the names. What are those names? Mada Allama? What did he teach Adam? قال الأراضين والجبال والشعاب والأودية. Names of different places of land, rivers, mountains, valleys, and then he looked at the carpet which on which he was sitting and said, "Even name of this he taught to Adam." Now these sort of traditions would corroborate the idea that actually Allah taught Adam language, because he knows what is the name of the mountain, how to call it, how to call other things, even the carpet on which he was sitting. However, Allama says that these traditions would not contradict what I said, because those names, Adam knows it from the treasures to here. So, for example, the mountain, which is created by God, in that, those treasures is also mountain. We are not talking about names. We are talking about the realities. But it's without measure. It's a different form. Adam knows that and also knows that on the earth and knows its qualities and everything, as Fakhreddin Razi was mentioning. So all these exegetes have mentioned to something, but they have not noticed the source of it. And in that sense, what we have in another tradition, he explains it in exactly the same way. He says that in Ma'an al-Akhbar, and this is very important for us Shias, because we always confuse this this idea with the Asma that Allah taught to Adam alayhi salam. In Ma'an al-Akhbar of Saduq, he reports from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, علم آدم آدم أسماء حججه كلها. Allah taught the names of the حجج, the name of the أئمة عليهم السلام. Taught Adam the name of Adam. ثم عرضهم وهم أرواح على الملائكة. And while they were only أرواح, he exposed them to the angels. Not taught them to angels, exposed them to the angels. And then taught to angels, inform me of the names of these in kuntum sadiqeen, that you are more deserved to be the viceroy on the earth because you do tasbih and taqdis. And qalu subhanaka la ilma lana. They said, we don't know. We don't know the what are these things. What are these things? قال الله تبارك وتعالى يا آدم أنبئهم بأسمائهم. Now you inform them of what are these things. And when he informed them, وَقَفُوا عَلَىٰ عَظِيمِ مَنْزَلَتِهِمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ, they realized how huge their station, their status is with Allah. And they knew that now these are more deserving to be the viceroys, the Hujajullah, the A'imma alayhimu salam. And then, ثُمَّ غَيَّبَهُمْ عَنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ, he again made them invisible for them. In fact, the knowledge was taken away. وَاسْتَعْبَدَهُمْ بِوَلَايَتِهِمْ وَمَحَبَّتِهِمْ, and said, if you want to worship me, you have to love these 12 imams or 14 ma'asumin or whatever they are. Now, again, Allama says that this is the same as the previous one. It was not the names of A'imma or whatever. It was those treasures from which the A'imma were created. And they realized that, yes, from these treasures, such things can come about. And it's just like what when Imam said he taught them the names of the mountains and different places of land and other things, including in those treasures were, of course, the progeny of Adam who were going to be created, and all the prophets, all the ma'sumin, all the imams, and all these things. So we should not restrict those names into Asma of A'imma alayhimu salam. It is something very general in which those are included as well. And when the angels realize that there are such things, they realize, yes, of course, there are huge... There is huge knowledge invested in Adam, which is not invested in them. So the following verse says, قَالُوا سُبْحَانَكَ لَا عِلْمَ لَنَا إِلَّا مَا عَلَّمْتَنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ, that we explained. And then قَالَ يَا آدَمُ أَنْبِئْهُمْ بِأَسْمَائِهِمْ, he said, Adam, now inform them of these names. And when he informed them, قال الم اقول لكم اني اعلم غيب السماوات والارض. Did I not tell you I know the what is hidden from the heavens and the earth? Because you may know the knowledge of heavens and the earth. There's nothing maybe unseen from you, but there's something above that that you do not know. وأعلم ما تبدون. And I know what you were actually revealing and exposing, disclosing. And that was you were talking to each other that why, for example, us should not be viceroys. وما كنتم تكتمون. And what you were hiding. Now, this is not about all the angels. This is about Iblis. That Iblis was hiding something in himself, which was kufr. And now he reveals it. He discloses that kufr. Not that just because Allah told him to prostrate to Adam, for example, which we'll talk in the next verse, that إِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ. Not because Allah told him to prostrate and because he didn't want he became a kafir. No, he was a kafir. He was not disclosing it. He was concealing it. By this test, it became apparent. وَمَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْتُمُونَ. What you were actually concealing. Okay, inshallah, we'll continue with the verses next week. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى الطَّاهِرِينَ.
Thank you much indeed, Shaykh. Thank you much indeed, Shaykh. So we've got about 15-20 minutes to continue the discussion and clarify any questions, queries. Pass it to Riaz.
Assalamualaikum, Shaykh. I have a very simple explanation. If you could please give me 30 seconds on this. The angels are not able to perceive anything that goes against God. They don't have free will. So they can't say, I'll need to get that ladder so I can get more closer to God. Yeah? Now, if the human being was formed to rule the earth, he must have some qualities to overcome the rest of the creatures. So he would have to have given a heart and a mind, free will, choice, the ability to make his own future. Because you see, the angels can't do that. They can't perceive the future. So when you give Danish to a creature, he's going to overcome the rest of them. So I'm just making a simple assumption. The names were actually emotions, like love, hate, friendship, you know, greed even, or even jealousy. All these feelings and emotions, they would not have been with the angels. And that's something that they couldn't grasp because their remit is not to go against God. Even a mother feeding a child is actually taking time out from saying Alhamdulillah to God and, you know, looking after the children, the father the same. So every one of us beings in this world is actually doing what God has ordained for them to do. But that free will, but even free will, it's not there for the human being to kill and pillage. Most of the free will is used in a good way. Yes, every day people are raising families. So maybe that free will was what was taught to Adam, and the angels would have no perception of even feeding themselves, for example. Because when you're feeding yourself, you're not saying, Alhamdulillah, you know, you're doing something to maintain your body. So it's just a simple explanation. Has any of the Mufassirin ever gone into such a simple explanation or not?
There are many things you said against the angels that if I was an angel, I would have really become upset.
But that would be against God's wishes.
That angels have no free will, this is not right. Angels have free will, and this is the merit of them, actually. That they worship God, they do tasbih and taqdis with the free will that they have. And that's why they thought that they would be better positioned to be viceroys. And then you say that عَلَّمَ عَدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا. It included greed, jealousy, all these evil qualities that we have actually to remove from ourselves. So what do you mean that Allah taught us certain things that we have to try hard, struggle to remove from ourselves? What do you mean by that?
It's part of the package. When you introduce emotion, you don't just get love, you get hate as well. Because somebody you love, and then there's somebody who wants to hit the person you love, obviously the hate comes in. It's a yin and yang thing. They exist together. But in the angels, when you say yes, they have danish, they can, but that's limited to God's...
That's acceptable. That's acceptable. However, asma never means emotions. It says asma'a kullaha, all the names. So yeah, the package would include emotions as well, of course. However, it doesn't. It's not restricted to that. There are other things which are taught to Adam, which the angels were not aware of at all. They're not aware of love. Of course, the angels have. They worship God with love. Otherwise, the worship would have been worthless. There is, of course, as I said, partially what you say is right, but. In its totality, we have to include other things as well into it, which would make that knowledge which angels did not know. But angels have great knowledge, of course. They know how things work in this world. They know many different things that we are not aware of. They know how to, for example, change the current of events in this world, like when Angel Jibreel comes and brings a destruction, or when brings the message, and all these things, of course, they know it. Later on, when we go to some of the traditions which talks about the angels repenting of what they said, repenting, we will realize more about how angels are, and they have ambitions too. Isn't it that they said that why not us, why human beings? So they have ambitions as well. However, as the Quran says, وَمَا مِنَّا إِلَّا لَهُ مَقَامٌ مَعْلُومٌ, we have set stations. We cannot move beyond these stations. While human being does not have any set station, human being can move forever up.
So isn't the most clear example of the angel's free will is that the shaitan had kufr hidden in himself.
Based on Sheikh Tusi's view that we mentioned before, that he is very adamant that Iblis was an angel, yes, of course, he had these emotions and all those things that human beings have. Yeah.
Thank you. Any sisters? No? Ready?
Alaykum as-salam.
My point was about this knowledge, Sheikh, which you also referred to as the masumin. Some human beings have been given that knowledge who are extra pure or pure. Is that linked to, in terms of our mind, is that the sort of at the subconscious level? Because, you know, we know obviously that the imams and the Prophet weren't taught by anyone. And I've also read that the knowledge that was given to Adam was then passed down through the Prophets to the Imam. So could they only access that because they had access to this subconscious mind that, you know, most ordinary people don't have access to? So we all in our subconscious have that knowledge, but we can't access it. There are some veils that stop us from accessing it.
Yeah, that's true. Now, you may call it subconscious, or you may call it something invested in human beings, which the Quran calls ruh. وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِمْ الرُّوحِ, I blew from my spirit into, and that spirit is that knowledge. Or that spirit is the means by which we can attain the knowledge. And usually that spirit is identified with our soul. And our soul has two different extremes. One is the lower soul, the nafs, and the other is the ruh. The farther we get away from that lower self or nafs, we get closer to the ruh and knowledge increases. That's why taqwa increases knowledge of God. And to the extent that if we become ma'asumeen, then that ruh gives us huge knowledge. وَكَذَلِكَ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ رُوحًا مِنْ أَمْرِنَا. We have actually sent down a ruh to you. مَا كُنْتَ تَدْرِي مَا الْكِتَابُ وَلَا الْإِيمَانِ. Before this, you didn't know what is kitab, what is iman. When this ruh came to you, then it gave you that knowledge. Now, if we get towards the lower soul, or nafs, lower self, and activate jealousy, greed, self-conceit, arrogance, and all these things, we completely go away from the ruh. All that knowledge would go away. And that's why Allah says, their hearts are sealed. Their hearts are sealed. That ruh would not work anymore. Now, the point is that that ruh is blown into all of us. نَفَخْتُ فِيهَ مَنْ رُوحِي. It's blown into all of us, and depends whether we want to use it or we don't want to use it. And that ruh will be more activated when we die, and when we go to barzakh, and when we go to resurrection. If we are believers, and if we have had some connection to that ruh, then it is going to give us huge, huge knowledge, inshallah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any sisters?
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
Continuing on with the knowledge, so the reference that you gave, in my understanding, that knowledge was something like blueprints of tangible things. For example, if it's the source of everything that's coming down onto this earth, then is that knowledge something, and you said it was live, so I would imagine, is it constantly increasing? Is it constantly moving, changing according to the times that, you know, we live in? What we need, I mean, is this, I'm just trying to understand, is this knowledge something, is it blueprints of tangible things, or is it something like, you know, emotions or ruh or ego came to my mind? I'm just trying to decipher what actually the knowledge.
Now, the treasures there has no limits or measure. So you cannot say it's increasing in time or what, the sources have no measure. Allah says when it comes down, it finds measures, limits. Otherwise, for Allah, it's limitless completely. When it's with Allah, it's limitless. And that's why Allah can create whatever He wants. There's no limit for His creation. He can create a world 1 million times bigger than this world, or smaller than this world. The measures come here. So there is no measures. If you have knowledge of measureless things, timeless, spaceless things, then that's huge knowledge, isn't it? Because all human knowledge is limited into time and space. If you can have that knowledge, and apparently human beings can, angels cannot have that knowledge. Human beings can have that knowledge. We are not aware of it now, but gradually we will become aware of it, inshallah.
And if the angels were taught as Prophet Adam was taught, are we saying they didn't have the capacity to hold that knowledge?
No, they weren't taught. Adam just informed them about it, not taught. Adam could not teach them. Just inform them that these are the treasures of God. That's it. And the angels deferred to Adam because of his knowledge. So the angels, if they could be taught, Allah would have taught them before. They couldn't. They didn't have the capacity to be taught. And that capacity needed something like our creation, to be attached to the earth, to be attached to God, to have all dimensions of material, supernatural, spiritual, all these things which angels do not have. Of course, angels have huge knowledge, huge capacity, capability, but what is given to us, despite all this risk and dangers, which we may actually destroy ourselves, is something which angels do not have. That's the important thing.
But Prophet Adam was taught by Allah.
Yeah.
Right. And the angels, even if taught by Allah, wouldn't have the capacity to hold
them. They didn't
that.
Have the capacity.
They didn't
no.
have the capacity. No. Okay. So I'm just, sorry, I'm going to ask you one more question. So would it then, the angels not complain that you haven't given us the capacity to hold this knowledge, and then you're asking us to submit to this vicegerent that you've created on this earth. But
no, the angels actually never say such a thing, because such a thing is to question the wisdom of Allah, that why you have given different creatures different things. The angels are pure and above all these sort of low level thoughts. This is thoughts that we human beings have. They realize that there is a capacity there that Allah has given Adam, has not given them. Now, their objection was not that why you haven't given it to us. Their objection was that they didn't know it has been given to Adam. And when they realized, then Allah said, now defer to Adam, and they all did. They all deferred to Adam after realizing that. Before that, there was question, you know, not that they were not, they objected, why you didn't give us such a quality. As I said in Surah Sa'd, مَا كَانَ لِي مِنْ عِلْمٍ بِالْمَلَعِ الْأَعْلَىٰ إِذْ يَخْتَصِمُونَ إِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي خَالِقٌ بَشَرًا مِنْ تِينٍ مَلَعُ الْأَعْلَىٰ. Those angels round the arsh were questioning among themselves. So it means that they have free will, they have intelligence. What is specific about this creature which God wants to make him his viceroy on the earth? They were asking, questioning, disputing among themselves, not God. And then when God informed them, they all deferred, except Iblis, of course.
Thank you. Any brothers?
Yeah, okay. As-salamu alaykum, Shaykh. Just an observation, if you can correct me. Imam alayhi salam, when he was asked this question, said the mountains, the rivers, the valleys. Then he even said this carpet. And there probably was no concept of this carpet at the time of Adam. But there was a concept of the source of the carpet. So that probably corroborates what you're saying.
Absolutely, yeah. That's very nice. Yeah, thank you.
Any sisters? So just to carry forward the sisters' questions and your explanation. So when Hazrat Adam informed the angels about these other knowledge, so they just accepted it and were satisfied.
Yes, actually they realized that he has the knowledge. That, you know, the angels didn't want to defy God or something. And if that was the case, Allah would have banished them, go away. You are not capable of living in my vicinity, just like Iblis, okay? The angels just wanted to know, and this knows angels are after knowledge as well, isn't it? Angels have a quest for knowledge as well, and they are able to learn, and Allah taught them that why Adam is superior to them. The only thing is that when they realize that what this creature knows, they all defer to Adam, and they all accept it with love, with a very forthcoming attitude towards Adam. Not that they were forced to do it. No, as soon as they realized, they all deferred to Adam.
Thank you. Any other questions, sisters? Brothers? Yeah.
Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh. This, you said that this knowledge will be given to us after we die. Now, if someone has the knowledge when they are alive, will they be able to perform any miracles or anything which others cannot do, just as one of the jinns of Sulaiman alayhi salam did?
Yes, of course, if someone has knowledge of those sources. Of course, knowledge of those sources are not given to evil people. So that jinn had knowledge which is given to them, abilities which are given to jinn in this world. They can do these things. Naturally they can do it, okay? But the person, قَالَ الَّذِي عِنْدَهُ عِلْمٌ مِّنَ الْكِتَابِ, the person who had some knowledge of the book, أَنَا آتِكَ بِهِ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَرْتَدَّ إِلَيْكَ طَرْفُكَ, before you blink, I bring that throne of Belqais here. And he did it. Before Suleiman blinked, the throne was there because he had some knowledge of those sources. Yes, if someone has some knowledge of those sources, they can do amazing things.
Is it in a book?
Everything in this world is a book, you know. As I mentioned before, every human individual has a book, which is our DNA. That's our book of creation, okay? That's the physical, biological book of creation of human beings. You know, we develop, our body develops based on the information which is kept in that book, isn't it? Now, when we say book, we shouldn't think it's a book which has pages, something like that. Anything which keeps information and based on that things develop is a book. So there's a book for every human individual. There's a book for every human society, community. There's a book for the whole universe, book for angels. And there is a book for the whole creation, which according to that book, everything comes into being, just like DNA. I think I made this simile before. This Lawh al-Mahfuz, which is the, or Umm al-Kitab, which is the source based on which the, or knowledge based on which the whole creation would develop, is like the DNA in human. It's the DNA of the universe of creation, not even universe, the angels as well. It's the DNA of creation. Everything is created based on what is written in that book, just as our body develops based on what is written in our DNA. So yes, everything is in a book. وَكُلَّ شَيْءٍ أَحْسَيْنَاهُ فِي إِمَامٍ مُبِينٍ. Everything we have brought together in a clear book. Imam here means book. And of course, if we say it's Imam al-Ma'asum, because Imam has knowledge of that book. Okay, everything we have, وَكُلَّ شَيْءٍ أَحْسَيْنَاهُ كِتَابًا. Everything in this world we have written in a book. So everything has a book for itself, but don't think that book is like the book that we read. Just as I said, bring to your attention the DNA of human being, or DNA of every creation, that's a book, and there's a book for everything in this world.
Just one more last question. You said Shaitan did have a kufr hidden inside him, but in spite of that, he did worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for thousands of years?
Yes. Some of us have kufr inside us, that we worship God for the whole of lives. And then when the moment of death comes, the iman would go out of our heart. That's why we are told that be careful that you hold your faith when you pass away. And this dua adila that we usually are told to read, that on the moment of death you have the faith with you. Because most of us, although we worship God, but there is such an arrogance in our hearts that we worship God because of that arrogance, to satisfy ourselves, to satisfy our ambitions, for example. And then the iman may go away. So yes, Shaitan may have worshipped God for thousands of years with that arrogance in the heart. And just when a test came, you see, we think that these tests are, for example, why Allah would try, why Allah would test? Well, because things should show its reality. So it showed itself. Yeah.
Anybody wants to clarify any last minute thoughts? No? Yes? Thank you, Muhammad Ali Muhammad Salwat. So we continue next week.